Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the NFL Draft Triple Take presented by UPMC. I'm Mike Pursuta from the DVE Morning Show and Steelers.com, joined as always by Dale Lally of SNR and Matt Williamson of SNR. You can hear Matt and Dale on the drive on SNR. You can catch all three of us on the Steelers Radio Network pregame show. And this time of year, you found us for one reason and one reason only, and that is to talk draft. We are not trying to get you caught in the draft, but caught up in it is the goal. And we're talking about quarterbacks today. Fellas, how are we doing?
Tremendous.
I am excellent. How about that?
Excellent and tremendous. So we are
hard
off
to beat that. Yeah.
A flying start. I am inquisitive because I know everybody is supposed to be looking for mobile quarterbacks these days, but I'm not really sure what that means. Matt, let's start with you. Is it pocket mobility, just a guy that can slide a little bit and evade the rush that way? Is it scramble if you have to, or is it a guy who can run by design, a guy you can scheme as a part of your running game? Josh Allen comes to mind.
Yeah, and that's a difficult thing to answer. I mean, I really think that when you're looking for, you have a blank slate and you're looking for the next guy, there would be a baseline of athleticism that I would really want to get over. And I bring up Joe Burrow a lot there. He can run. He can certainly move in the pocket. He's a very good athlete, basketball background. I mean, he's a good athlete. You know, a year ago we did these, and Mac Jones, we hadn't seen his rookie year yet. And I thought he's well below the line. But if you're exceptional in other manners, I think you can succeed. But more often than not, I think the more athleticism, the better. You know, we'll talk about Malik Willis. I mean, Malik Willis is going to come into the league as one of the best running threats in the NFL the second he becomes an NFL player. And that just allows him to learn the other things at a little bit more reasonable rate as he leans on those traits.
So I think what the answer is, all of the above, if possible.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, if you have all of that in your arsenal, you can play and get away with it. I think we saw it with Justin Fields last year, for example. He's an outstanding runner, and you know, yes, there were times where it didn't look great, but man, when he was on, and even he didn't even have to be on, he could still pick up first downs and move the football with his legs. And I think he'll continue to grow as a passer.
Yeah, I think those guys are not the outlier anymore. They're going to be the standard. And the outliers are the traditional drop back pocket passers.
You got to really be special to do that, to Matt's point. I mean, you got to be special.
You know, Daniel Jeremiah was talking about that during the Senior Bowl coverage on the NFL Network. And he said, if you don't have the mobility, you better be great at decision making and great with accuracy. And usually those are traits that take years and years and years to develop. But hey, what did we just see when the confetti was coming down? The quarterback of the team that won the Lombardi did not meet at least my criteria for being a mobile guy, but Matthew Stafford is a world champion.
He's mobile enough, though.
He's
more mobile than some other quarterbacks who've we've seen in recent years. I mean, he's probably closer to middle of the pack than a lot of other guys in the league.
I think it's a massive detriment if it's third and six, everyone plays man coverage, there's this huge lane, and you can't get 7 yards slide and move the chains. You know, you at least have to do that, like an Aaron Rodgers-like man.
Yeah, and Stafford can do that.
Yeah.
That's a great context. Can you move the sticks and keep the possession going? You don't have to light it up, but can you take what's there or do what Burrow did in the Super Bowl? They called that one conversion a scramble. I thought it was a QB draw all the way where he just dropped back and let the C part and ran right up the middle and moved those chains. But the guys we have to talk about today pretty much can all do that, and some of them can do a whole lot more. Matt, why don't you lead us off with your number five, Sam Howell from North Carolina?
Yeah, I'll preface this by saying I'm pretty set on my top two. 3, 4, 5 to me are really jumbled, and I can make a strong argument for each of them. I have Howell.
Time out. Let me cut you off here just for a second. I think it's an important point to make for people who are reading these or listening to these or viewing these. We're still in February. This isn't the word of God.
Not chiseled in stone quite
yet. You can change your five. We're not coming down from the mountain with two tablets and saying these are the 10 quarterbacks in this order. It's going to change, but feel free to change it as you see fit.
Yeah, I mean, Howell's a shorter guy, kind of has a Baker Mayfield build, thickly built. I mean that in a good way. He's put together well, but he's shorter. Lost a ton of talent from last year. Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, Denami Brown, another top receiver that went to the pros, and just didn't have much help around him this year. So he's very competitive, and to his credit, became a much more accomplished and willing runner and had some big runs. He's not Lamar or Malik Willis or Josh Allen in terms of, you know, elusiveness and ability as a runner, but he's fast in a straight line and will put his head down and run into safeties. And I like his style of play. Very good deep passer, but he was also a little quick to run. And a lot of, you know, one of the cases we're going to bring up with all these guys, real heavy RPO type offense that does, you know, there's going to be a learning curve.
Yeah. He talked about that at the, actually at the Senior Bowl, Matt, when I was down there, that, you know, the plan coming into the season wasn't for him to run as much as he did. It just kind of developed as the season went on, and it started working early, and the coaching staff said, "Hey, let's go with it. Yeah. You know, if you're able to do this, let's do it," because he had so many.
Something that worked and they kept doing it.
Amazing as that is. Yeah. And you know, he talked about having so many new pieces on offense that those guys were, and they were all younger players, that they were still learning. And so that was the cheat code for North Carolina this year, was just to have him run, because, you know, he hadn't run much early in his career. He'd run a little bit, but not like he did last year.
Yeah. Comparisons I've heard are, Mayfield like, but more athletic, a little bit bigger. And Matt, I'm with you. I think those are compliments. I know Baker Mayfield hasn't hit a home run yet in Cleveland in terms of taking them all the way, but I like,
but he was the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yeah. Right, let's not forget. Right.
And let's not forget that. Dale, your number five is Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati.
Yeah. I like Ridder. I like a lot about him. Talked to him at the Senior Bowl as well. Seems like he has a good head on his shoulders. He's a 4-year starter at Cincinnati and seemingly got better every year. They had a really good year in 2021. So there's a lot there to like. I don't see the consistency with him as a passer that you'd like to see. Now, maybe he can get better at that, but he's a tremendous runner. He's built certainly differently than Howell. While Howell is that thicker quarterback, Ritter's taller. He's 6'3", but he's only 207 pounds. He's built like a wide receiver or a pro basketball shooting guard. Is kind of what I looked at. You know, when I was standing next to him, like, this guy's really thin. I just don't know how that holds up. And he's still a young guy. Maybe he'll get bigger, stronger, obviously faster, you know, that kind of stuff. But you do worry about a quarterback built like that holding up in the NFL play after play after play.
Matt, I've got Ridder at number 4 on my list. You have Ridder at number 3 on yours.
Me, yeah.
He's getting a lot of credit from the Cincinnati people in the Cincinnati program for putting that program on his shoulders, getting them into the playoff. I think it's justified. How far does that go in the draft room, that kind of intangible follow me type of characteristic that he clearly seems to have, Ridder?
Yeah, and Dale mentioned it. It sounds like he is a very high character guy. He's won a lot of football games, and I think people hold their playoff loss against a far superior team against Ridder too much. I'm a fan. He's starting to really grow on me. Again, I have him at 3, 3, 4, 5 are all pretty comparable to me, though. I mentioned the system he comes from, that some of these guys come from. When they get to third downs, I mean, Ritter's running a pro-style offense. And he, as Dale mentioned, he seems to be getting better every year. He does have some accuracy lapses, but fewer than he did a year ago and much fewer than 2 years ago. I've been told he's going to blow up the combine too. So, you know, we'll see. But, I mean, it depends how much stock you put in that. But I'm really growing fonder and fonder of Ridder.
Is that quarterback stuff, the measurables, is that becoming a bigger deal in the evaluation?
Well, I think it goes back just to your first conversation. I mean, if he runs a 4.5 and jumps well and those type of things, you'll say, wow, maybe I can design more quarterback runs than I originally thought for this guy.
Well, yeah, and I definitely think you'll see him do those kind of things. I would like to see him be, you know, 6'3", 215-ish. You know, that would make me feel a little better about it.
Yeah, my number five is Matt Corral of Mississippi, and I've just looked at him a little bit so far. I want to take a deeper look. But, Dale, to your point about Ritter, 6'1", 205, he's game. He'll put his head down. He'll run through people at the goal line. But 205 pounds in the Sunday league, I'd like them to be a little bit heavier than that. But I think he's got a great head on his shoulders and can make plays in the pocket, can make plays out of the pocket. I've got Ritter at four. Matt's got it. Howe, five. Corral, four. Dale's got it. Ritter, five. Howe, four. Dale, you've got Matt Corral at three. Matt's got Desmond Ritter at three. And I've got Sam Howe. We've talked about those guys all in pretty good detail. Now we take a step up in class. I think we're all agreed, the last two guys, and we are all in agreement. The second best prospect at this point is Kenny Pickett of Pitt. And the number one guy is Malik Willis of the University of Liberty, or Liberty University, I should say. Dale, how did he get there from where he was, which was seemingly in everybody else's eyes behind Kenny Pickett going into the Senior Bowl?
You know, Mike, I watched him a couple of times during the season, and I watched Willis in his games against Ole Miss, and I watched him against Syracuse. And both of those games, he would make a play or a throw, and you'd go, wow, that was outstanding. And then there'd be another play where you'd look at it and go, boy, what was he thinking there? But then you take a step back, and I watched him at the Senior Bowl, and you realize he was playing at Liberty. Mm-hmm. And the guys who he was playing with in those games against Syracuse, and I know Syracuse wasn't any good last year, but against Ole Miss, weren't the same quality of prospects that he was competing against. And I think that matters as well. When people look at because I know a lot of people said, well, he threw 12 interceptions last season and had a couple of games where he had multiple interceptions. Well, yeah, he was playing with lesser talent than the defense that he was playing against. So I watched him closely at the Senior Bowl, and he can make all the throws. He's got a big arm, and he's got that, you know, when you talk about to get back to our original lead into the segment, everything that you want in terms of being able to run the football at the quarterback position, this guy has it. He's not super tall. He's 6'3", but he's 220 pounds. He's built like a running back. He's built like Najee Harris.
Way thicker than a Lamar Jackson or a Kyler Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. By comparison.
But he has that kind of speed. They had the company come in at the Senior Bowl that measured the speed of the players there in miles per hour. And the only other quarterback that was in his class, and they've only done this for 4 or 5 years now, but the only other quarterback that was in his class in terms of speed was Kyler Murray. That's how fast this guy is. He was the seventh fastest guy at the Senior Bowl, according to their measurements, as a quarterback.
He won me over. If people are unfamiliar with the Senior Bowl, it's a different set of rules. At the end of each quarter, they give you a two-minute warning, and the ball is turned over at the end of the quarter. So even if you have first and 10 on the last play of a quarter, you have to give the ball to the other team when that play is over. And it came down to an untimed down from the 34-yard line for Malik Willis' team at the end of the first quarter. And he dropped back, and there was pressure off both edges, and he stepped up, and he flushed right, and he still had his head up and looking down the field, trying to make a pass. And then the back pressure started catching up, so he cut across the field, and he was trying to angle the defense. He got down to about the 6-yard line. He engaged seven defenders along the way. The seventh guy finally got him because he had the angle on him. But, Matt, to your point about he's going to be a top 10 runner as soon as his name is called. I mean, you can figure out the rest. If you got that kind of skill going for you and the arm strength, the humility. Now, I only saw a couple of quick interviews, so it's not exactly a large sample size, but he seems to be a great kid. And Matt, to me, looks like that lump of clay that you can mold and you can coach up. And in the meantime, he's just going to take over with his athleticism. And because of his size that we just referenced, he's going to be able to take a hit and keep going.
Without question. I'm really, really warming up to this guy. Is going to be someone that shoots up draft, all these mocks and things we see, especially after the combine. By all accounts, he's a super hard worker. And you stole exactly what I was going to say. I mean, I think he has less bad habits that you have to coach out of him than the others on this list. It is really is just a moldable piece of clay, and it's a beautiful clay to mold. And it sounds like he's going to do the work and has the intelligence to deal with it and really grow. And he has unique traits in the meantime. No one makes this comparison, but the guy he reminds me most of is Josh Allen. You know, I mean, Allen's 6'5", and they don't look the same when they walk in the door. But Wyoming wasn't exactly USC or Alabama. And, you know, he had all kinds of issues with accuracy coming out of school. And in the meantime, got by with his natural traits and then, you know, did all the work to become a star. I think Willis could take a similar career path.
Yeah, no, Mike, I think too many people got caught up in his Senior Bowl passing stats because he was 2 for 11 for 4 yards.
Yeah. It was the practices, though.
The practices. And not only that, but you also have to include his rushing stats into what he produced. Yeah. He had 2 possessions and he produced 65 yards of offense by himself. Mm-hmm. That's without any of the running backs or anything else. That's what you're looking at here. Not the, just the passing numbers. If he had gone 6 for 7 or, you know, 6 for 8 for 50 or 65 yards, people would go, oh, what a great game. He produced in 2 drives, 65 yards of offense. Yeah. That's what matters.
Does it matter if you run it or you throw it? Matt, you're the former scout among us. So tell us how big a deal Kenny Pickett's double jointed thumb and allegedly small hands are.
I like Pickett. I mean, he's 2 on my list. I think he's a high quality prospect. I don't see a Hooper super high ceiling there, but people might make fun of me, but I'm in the worried about the hand size camp. You know, this double jointed thumb thing. I can't comment on that. I've never heard of that. Maybe that makes his problems less. But Michael Vick's like the only one in history with below 9-inch hands that have gone on to have a pretty successful career. And he obviously had unique other traits. And there aren't many that are even 9.5 or lower. And hey, if Pickett goes to the Saints and plays in that division in a dome, he'll probably never pop up. I mean, maybe a time here and there in the cold. But even, you know, Pitt, North Carolina last year, the weather got bad and Pickett got worse. You know, at the Senior Bowl, the weather got bad and Pickett got worse. I mean, I think you have to be aware of it.
Yeah, I like him. I like him too. I pretty much agree with everything you just said. All the scouts I talk to, they don't laugh at hand size. I don't know if they're right or wrong, but that's the way this process is done.
Yes.
And I think he's really good, but I don't see him getting a whole lot better. Dale, you see much more upside?
Yeah, I mean, I've said all along, his upside, his potential, could he be Kirk Cousins? Yeah, I could see him being Kirk Cousins. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're taking, you know, if you held a draft, if you redrafted that
Kirk Cousins has made a lot of money being Kirk Cousins.
Absolutely. Yep. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you redrafted that draft where Cousins came out and he was, what, a 4th or 5th round pick, he goes somewhere in the first round. That's why I think Kenny Pickett goes somewhere in this first round. But, you know, what's the upside potential? It's not what Malik Willis's is.
No.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I'm not a GM and I don't draft people for a living, but I would shoot for the moon. You know, if I'm looking for the guy.
I'm swinging for the fences with quarterbacks.
I don't want the best guy now. I want the best guy when they're all playing their best.
And it's almost the Mac Jones argument from last year. Like, you looked at Mac Jones, you said, well, this guy's a pretty polished prospect. Kenny Pickett's a very polished prospect. But what's the upside potential? What's the upside potential with, you know, with a Mac Jones? The same thing. Great. He stepped right in and helped that team win and did a good job. But is he ever going to be considered a top 5 quarterback? That we don't know.
Well,
I think some of these other guys could.
Certainly will be interesting in Indianapolis. I think they're going to do more than a cursory look at the quarterbacks running the 40-yard dash and then chuckle when there's a bad time up. Oh, look how unathletic. You know, we're not there anymore. I mean, you want to see these guys run and jump and see what they can do, and we are going to see it. That's going to do it for our quarterback talk. For now, I want to remind everybody that you can catch these programs on all of the Steelers' social media platforms till we come at you again, which we will be doing real soon. For Matt Williamson and Dale Lawley, I'm Mike Pursuta. This has been the NFL Draft Triple Take presented by UPMC.